I'm reading something from May 1977. Srila Prabhupada is from my book, ISKCON in the 1970s. Prabhupada passed away in November of 1977. In May, he had a crisis in health, though, and he called all his GBC members to come and be with him in Vrindavan. And this was written at that time. On the one hand, he is very ill. His body has run out. He is going to die. On the other hand, if Krishna desires, he can be saved. What is our position as disciples? TKG says we should not discuss management here in Vrindavan, but should chant and hear and go and pray and chant before Srila Prabhupada in his room. I feel there is no sense in my praying hollow words. Krishna knows my mind. I will try to chant japa, read if I can, and follow the morning program at Krishna Balaram Mandir. I have no sincerity or depth of love to cry out to Krishna. Please do not take Srila Prabhupada away. Without him we cannot live. Our ISKCON will fall. When I was in his room chanting, he looked over at me and I could see how he is a compassionate soul, a pure devotee despite the suffering in his body. And I remembered how in 1966 he had saved me by that same compassionate attitude and endeavor as a Krishna's devotee. I felt how he saved me and brought me to Krishna consciousness. I felt it very clearly, and then I controlled the emotion. I'm not here to cry emotional tears. I'm here to chant and become purified and let Krishna accept me as a surrendered soul. See me as a clear, fit receptacle, not a muddy, body-conscious demon. And bless me to be fit for whatever happens here, the survival or departure of our beloved spiritual master. Being inconvenienced by the heat of Vrindavan and the scarcity of certain foods, my body becomes sluggish, and I see how much I am still in body consciousness. I'm still thinking of how I can enjoy this body. This is not the proper Vrindavan spirit. Let me strive to purify myself here. My japa today was not good. I was preoccupied with material thoughts. And this is from a Vrindavan journal of this year, February 5. I'm writing to Krishna. You are my Lord and the Lord of the universes. You are the closest friend of each individual soul and the ruler of all souls. Srimati Radharani thought she had fallen in love with three persons. One, the person whose name was Krishna. Two, the person who played the mind enchanting flute. And three, the charming youth painted in the picture by Vishakha. Being in love with three persons, she thought she was unchaste and insane. But Vishakha consoled her that this person was not one. Excuse me. That this person was one, not three. Radha was relieved to realize this, but she remained anxious in her desire to attain him. Krishna has become in love with the girl whose name he has heard, Radha. So they experienced Purvarag, the sensations of pure love. I wish to know something of this in truth. Is Vrindavan a good place to realize that? Is Vrindavan a good place for chanting the holy names? I thought it would be. I would come here and speak to Krishna in a different way, in his own land. You are gaining experience by riding on rickshaws and seeing old trees and exchanges with the residents of Vrindavan. This land, more than any other in the world, is familiar with Radha and Krishna as God and his consort. Only here the ordinary people say Radhe Shyam in greeting. They're not ordinary. Only here there are thousands of temples, and they're all Radha Krishna. So I thought I could come here and be closer to you. It is not happening so easily. The early mornings are drowsy, not like in the yellow submarine. I want to chant in Braja consciousness, but my body is not cooperating. Let me talk to you, O cowherd boy of Nanda's village. Let me appreciate my locations. I used to say many years ago that when you come here, it is seeping through the walls. I used to feel that. These are your forests, forests of Radha and Krishna. The quaint room is Vrindavan style, the quilt made in Delhi. I speak to you from a closer position. Even if I do not feel it immediately, it is undeniably true. I am in Boma Vrindavan, replica of Goloka Vrindavan on earth. The great lovers of Vrindavan never want to leave here except to preach the glories of Krishna and Vrindavaneswari. Otherwise, they prefer to stay close to you and your land. And this is from a book written in 1997, Easy Journey, Every Day Just Right, Volume 3, called Sojourn in Tapabhumi, written in Vrindavan. A devotee praised me for pushing on with travels and lecturing, even though I'm ill. She connected it to a line in Prabhupada's purport: one who lays down his life on the sacrificial altar or in the proper battlefield is at once cleansed of bodily reactions and promoted to a higher status of life. She praised me for my determination, dedication, and sacrifice. Still, you are going and putting your body on the line for the cause of preaching and encouraging others in Krishna consciousness. She doesn't know I have cancelled my tour. From Vrindavan, I'm going to a place where I can be free of obligations and can just repair my body. I read this call to die on the battlefield just before bed last night. I thought I would probably think of it during the night and worry whether it was cowardly of me to cancel my Caribbean tour just because my health has broken down. I called Madhu Mangal and he asked me to rest peacefully. He said, as far as he was concerned, my proper battlefield was first sadhana, then writing, and only thirdly traveling and speaking where people see me in the flesh, what's left of it. I accepted his assurance. Giving the Hindi class was fun. I restrained myself while speaking about Mother Yashoda and the gopis, complaining to her about Krishna's naughty activities, the accusations that Krishna ate dirt. I didn't want to play it up too much or be corny. Still, it's sweet to speak straight about the pastimes, Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda made an important philosophical point about surrender to Krishna's will when we don't know the cause of something overwhelming situation. Prabhupada advised us to follow that path. Krishna gave me intelligence to speak in a balanced way. It was fun speaking in Prabhupada's residence. He was present in his murti form, sitting at his desk. The audience was Hindi-speaking, only devotees, almost all men. Their faces were brownish, wrapped in scarves, humble-looking. There were also some Western devotees, mostly my disciples, blonde-haired Trivikram Das, a Katran from Puerto Rico in a big green winter jacket, and Matajis from America, Australia, Finland, etc. I gave preference to the Hindi-speaking devotees during the question and answer session. I took a firmer control over their questions and spoke to them as a teacher. I played the role. When a devotee asked what to do if he can't fully surrender, I said, did you think you would be surrendered by now? When a devotee said that his life is a failure and he wants to know why it is, since Krishna wants him to surrender, I replied, your life is not a failure, but you have to prove that your will is to surrender is strong and that you won't accept Maya. I have been complaining that I haven't been able to get the taste of Vrindavan Dham, but certainly this was a real Vrindavan event. ISKCON Vrindavan is also Vrindavan, and the heart of ISKCON Vrindavan is to be able to speak Prabhupada's teachings from his Bhagavatam purports to an audience like I had today. And then from the same book, February 1997. Yesterday I told the devotees that they should examine themselves as to why they're leaving Vrindavan. Probably it's because they're not fit to live here. Maybe they're admitting that they don't want to live here, or they may hold some idealistic notion that they'd like to live in Vrindavan, but they know they're not fit. To live in Vrindavan for an ISKCON devotee means finding some service at the Krishna Balaram Mandir. That can be demanding. Maybe there's nothing here for us to do. Are we leaving because there's no service? Or are we leaving because we want to preach? That's a good reason, the main reason to leave. It's the reason Prabhupada left Vrindavan Dham. One devotee admitted that she's too shy to preach, so she can't claim she's leaving Vrindavan for that reason. She admits that she's leaving Vrindavan in order to pursue relative goals. She wants to go to school and figure out how to make money. She also wants to get married and thinks Vrindavan is not a good place for contemplating a marriage partner. Later I wrote this devotee a letter and said, it's good to admit that you're leaving for those material reasons, and it's not necessarily bad. You're leaving Vrindavan in order to make progress in your Varnashram evolution. It's natural to get married, and you may have to develop career skills. Leave Vrindavan then, with the idea to accomplish what you need to do, and then eventually work on coming back. Neither is it all or nothing, no Vrindavan or all Vrindavan. We can take Vrindavan with us in our hearts. We make resolutions here that we carry out with us outside of Vrindavan, and we can come back to visit. I spoke these things, but what about me? Why am I leaving? Remember that haiku I wrote about 10 years ago? It was at the end of the dust of Vrindavan. It went like this. Driven out of Vrindavan by a Sikh in a Mazda.
Yeah. I don't know if the devotees know what that you mean when you say you're a yellow submarine.
Oh, that's the name I give to the Bhajan Kutra or the room, the apartment that I have in the house you've given me to stay in. The walls are painted a little bit like in here, only a little yellow one. And it's named after the Beatles song, "The Yellow." We all live in a yellow submarine. So is my place of residence. Yeah, I shouldn't assume that they know what that means. Thank you for asking me to clarify. Reading Sri Vidagdha Madhava, Act 5. It's called Radha Prasadana, Decorating Radha. Purnamasi enters. Purnamasi. The fire of grief constantly plays on the call of love. That is not an untruth. Because I am affectionate to Radhika, now I am also burning in the fire of grief. Looking ahead, who is this girl coming to me with Madhu Mangal? Looking again, why is Vrinda, who knows the languages of all living entities and whose order is never disobeyed by any of the moving or non-moving creatures in her forest of Vrindavan, coming here? Vrinda and Madhu Mangal enter. Vrinda and Madhu Mangal say, O Mother, I offer my respects to you. Purnamasi says, auspiciousness to you both. Vrinda, O noble lady, why are you so unhappy? Purnamasi, my child, when Abhimanyu saw on Srimati Radharani's body the marks from the touch of the most expert lover, Krishna, he became very angry and now he wants to take his family and live in Mathura. Also, when Abhimanyu's anger flares up, his mother becomes like a host of monsoon clouds to torment the swan of Radha. For these reasons, I lament. Vrinda, the moonlight of Purnamasi's good wishes will remove the darkness of obstacles. Purnamasi's, child, there are many reasons that I love Radha. Excuse me, I skipped a line. Madhu Mangal, noble lady, why do you love Radha so dearly? Purnamasi, child, there are many reasons that I love Radha. Oh, I love her dearly. Vrinda, you have spoken well. In this variegated world, somewhere, someone loves another with unmotivated and unwavering love. The Kanchana birds love the star Agastya in this way. When Agastya rises in the sky, the Kanchana birds celebrate with great happiness. And when Agastya sets in the west, at the time of the monsoon, the Kanchana birds at once disappear, for they cannot bear to be separated from their love. Arumango, what are the symptoms of his causeless love? Purnamasi. When one hears praise from his beloved, he outwardly remains neutral but feels pain within his heart. When he hears his beloved making accusations about him, he takes them to be jokes and enjoys pleasure. When he finds faults in his beloved, they do not diminish his love, nor does the beloved's good qualities increase his spontaneous affection. Thus, his spontaneous love continues under all circumstances. That is how spontaneous love of God acts within the heart. Marumangal. This is the nature of love for Radha and Madhava. Purnamasi. Child, what more need be said? The flood of the nectar of love that Radha and Madhava bear for each other is the supreme example of the naturally sweet chains of love that bind beautiful, expert, amorous couples. Brinda. O noble lady, listen. Krishna does not wish to hold a staff in his hand. He has no desire to touch his buffalo bugle. He will not decorate his body with mineral pigments. He no longer plays his leaf flute. His great playfulness is gone and his mind reeling. Krishna now stays by the shore of the Yamuna. He is very depressed, Purnamasi, unhappy. Why is Krishna so depressed? Marumangal. It is because of the crookedness of Lalita. Purnamasi. Has Lalita not created this violent, jealous anger in Radha? Brinda. How is that? Purnamasi, I do not know. Where are Lalita and her friends now? Brinda, I sent Subal to find them. Subala enters. O noble lady, I offer my respects to you. Purnamasi, Subal, where did you find Radha and the other gopis? Subal, they are under a mango tree near Mukhari's house. Purnamasi, child Madhumangal, I shall quickly go to Radhika and convince her to meet Krishna. You please cheer Krishna up with the moonlight of this good news. Madhumangala happily exits. Brinda coming near. Subala, I have written a message in verse. Can you carry it to Vishaka? Subala, what is the message? Purnamasi, Brinda, I shall pacify Radha, decorate her nicely, and bring her to meet Krishna. Then we shall both wait in the grove of Kadamba trees. Accompanied by Subala, Brinda exits.